Happy weekend, Nashville. Four's Company on this Saturday morning. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Jake Wallman back with you. 9 to 11 here on the game. No Connor Newt, at least for now. We will get our Newt's notes later on in the show.
It's coming.
He is on location at Rupp Arena in Lexington, Kentucky, getting ready to watch his Wildcats play today. So Connor is going to join us at 10:15, not his usual Newt's Notes time. 10:15, he will call in live from Rupp Arena, and we will get our thoughts from Connor Newt for the first time in 2 weeks, as he missed last week's show, too.
It's like an eternity. Like, I mean, this guy, he's been all over the place. He's been recovering. He's a man on a mission.
Yeah, we miss him. He'll be back next week for the show on the 15th, right? Today's the 8th? Yes.
Yes.
Let's get to our headlines this morning. Let's start with Nick Frazier. What do you got for us?
Yeah, I mean, I was trying to find something fun, something exciting about this past week in sports. It was actually yesterday. My brother came over for a little bit, and we watched a little bit of that Waste Management. And I forget the kid's first name. I think it's Luke Clanton, I believe. He is an amateur, went to school at Florida State. There's like a point system that the PGA goes off of. I guess it's like for majors. And so he was at 19. And to get your Pro Tour card, you need 20. And so he had to make the cut yesterday, which was 2 under. And he was, I think, +2 at the 13th hole. And then he went birdie, par, birdie, then got to even. And then there was a putt where it was for eagle to put him at 2 under with, I think, like 3 holes to spare. And it just stops the front lip of the hole. And so now he's sitting there, gets a birdie. Now he's now officially like 2 under or 1 under or something like that. And once he got to like the 18th green, he was, I think it was a par 4. He ended up, I think it was like 104 yards out from the pin, and he hits it. He likes it. He's like, oh, this thing could look good. And it skips, and normally the backspin should happen. It didn't backspin in time and got to the back part of the green, and he had to hit like a 20-foot putt for birdie, and he needed a birdie to get his tour card.
Wow.
So he came up 1 stroke short.
That's tough.
Yeah.
But made a great run at it.
He did.
Did you see the guy who dunked it on 16 yesterday?
Yeah.
That crazy. The Waste Management, outside of the majors, I think that's the one that I'd like to go to the most. Just stadium hole, 16th, and you just heckle these guys. Like, it's the opposite of what golf was meant to be, where it's so, you know, pristine and quiet, and everybody quiet, please. And it's like they're throwing beers onto the green after the shot went down. I thought that was awesome.
Yeah,
Waste Management's always a fun one.
I have a buddy of mine that moved out to Arizona a few years ago, and he's been going to that Waste Management Open ever since. And he sent me some video of, I guess they do a concert or whatever the Monday before the whole thing starts on Thursday. And it was pretty cool. They get it like a giant firework, and it had Waste Management logo. It was pretty neat. It's a bucket list thing, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, I don't know if we talked about this last week, the Waste Management 2 years ago when it was around the Super Bowl. Like, the celebrities were there. And, man, if you had an Airbnb in the Phoenix area that weekend, you were raking in the cash. Jake Wallman, good morning. What is your headline for us?
Good morning, gentlemen. My headline goes to Knoxville, and it's not the Lady Vols taking down UConn on Thursday night.
Although, I thought that was where you were going.
No, it's not. Earlier this week, Tennessee announced a reinvestment into hoops, driving up the ticket prices. So we all know that there, or I guess at least I know that there's a 10% talent fee that the University of Tennessee is imposing for basketball. But the ticket prices are now going to go up at least 6% in non-premium areas. So I guess that's like the upper bowl and maybe a few seats down below. But I was just thinking about it. And, you know, like with the talent fee and stuff, this is probably where a lot of programs are going to go over the next 5 years, where, you know, they're imposing a lot of talent fees and stuff just because of the NIL era and that sort of thing.
Right, the house settlement that came down said, what, $20 million they can pay student-athletes, something around there?
I believe so, yeah.
So, I mean, you got to find that money somewhere. It's not just lying around for a lot of athletic departments, so you either have to cut costs or you've got to make things more expensive. I think that is probably how it's going to go, is they're going to work it into ticket fees and – You know, if you want to be at the elite level of whatever club that they've got, like, you've got to be, you've probably got to add more now because you, somebody's got to pay those players.
Yeah. I mean, you're not going to find it in the couches.
Right.
So.
Yeah, $20 million is not just lying around. So.
I mean, some couches, maybe.
Depends on whose couch it is.
It depends.
Yeah, yeah, that is true. My headline this morning, let's see, I had two. Trying to debate. Oh, you know what? This one was more important, and we didn't get to talk about it because it happened after our show on Saturday. Luka Doncic traded to the LA Lakers.
I've only heard about it a million times.
I know. It's a week removed at this point, but we haven't been able to talk about it. That is, I think that is the most lopsided trade that I have ever seen in any sport. The other one that comes to mind is DeAndre Hopkins when he got traded to the Cardinals, because that one, everybody's like, a second-round pick for maybe the best wide receiver in football. But getting an aging star, a role player, and a 2029 first-round pick for a top three player in basketball who's 25 years old is absolutely insane.
I don't understand it. I mean, it just seems like the higher-ups in Los Angeles are like, all right, we're going to do everything we can to bring the relevancy back in L.A. Like, that's, to me, what I got out of the trade.
I mean, L.A., I don't blame them at all.
No.
Like, if you can trade Anthony Davis, who is on the back nine of his career, and go get LeBron's successor for that, do it. Rob Pelinka probably hung up the phone before Nico Harrison could change his mind. It basically seems like Brian Windhorst said it best on ESPN. Do you know how much the Mavericks must hate Luka Doncic to make that trade? I mean, Nico Harrison must have just despised him.
I'm at a loss of words.
He's a controllable superstar at 25 years old. He's already been an All-NBA player five times and just took your team to the finals 8 months ago.
Yeah, and my thing is, why would you not want to sign him if you're the Mavericks to like a Supermax deal? Because then you have him solidified.
Right.
And then to that point, if you want to get rid of him, that other team has to have that Supermax deal. They have to take in all that money.
Right. And like, maybe right now, it helps the Mavericks this season. Because I do think this season, a trio of Kyrie Irving and Anthony Davis and Klay Thompson, not his old self, but he can still light it up from long range. Like, maybe that helps the Mavericks this year. But long term, I mean, you just traded for a 2017 All-Star team. Like, you've got, if that Mavericks team in 2017, they're the favorite for the title.
Lights out.
But it's not 2017 anymore. I don't get it. I think the best comparison I saw to like an NFL lookalike, like what it would look like in the NFL.
Yeah.
Joe Burrow for Matthew Stafford in a second round pick. Like, that's kind of what it looks like to me. You've got
accurate.
A guy who's good, was really good. You got an okay draft pick, and you traded away one of the best players in football.
It's still mind-boggling.
I still don't get it.
Listen, if Luka was the one that wanted to get out of Dallas, understandable. But the compensation, like you're talking about, just doesn't make sense. Like, 2029 first overall pick.
First round pick.
Hey, are they expecting the Lakers to be really bad in 2029?
It's probably going to be like the 28th pick in the draft.
Exactly.
Or something like that.
That makes no sense unless they're going to use that trade, or not trade, but that first round draft pick as a trade leverage to another trade coming up. But that, I don't know.
It made no sense. And, you know, the reports come out that the Mavericks didn't talk to any other team. If you're going to trade Luka Doncic, who I think you could argue, maybe Shai Gilgeous-Alexander has a higher trade value.
That's fair.
But I think you'd have a tough time. Anthony Edwards, maybe. There's a handful of players who may have a higher trade value than Luka Doncic, but there's not many.
Right.
If you're going to trade that guy, you have to have a bidding war. You call up all 29 other teams and say, hey, Luka Doncic is available. What's your best offer? They didn't do that. They called one team, and they were like, hey, you know, we'll give you Anthony Davis, can have a 2029 first. Max Christie. Nico Harrison said, sounds good to me. Send it in.
Yeah. Unless he thought there was some typo in a text message or something. But
right. Like the, my favorite trade ever, when the Suns and Grizzlies agreed and they had the wrong Brooks.
Yeah.
The Suns thought they were getting Dylan Brooks, and the Grizzlies thought they were sending Marshawn Brooks or something like that, and the trade fell through. Yeah, I don't know. That David Stern would have vetoed that trade in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
Adam Silver doesn't care.
There's, again, my thoughts about the NBA. There's something about this trade that just is, it's kind of icky.
Crazy. You know what I mean? Like, it just feels collusion, like, would be the word. It feels like Nico Harrison is hurting his own team on purpose.
It seems like he got some kickback in some regard.
Did you see his quote? I think they held a press conference after the trade was finalized, and he said that they'll probably bury me for this in 10 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not wrong.
I mean, it is, again, you can't judge these trades, just like draft picks. You can't judge them a week after it happens. But I would be willing to bet that this goes down as one of the worst trades in sports history.
Yeah. Yeah. It will.
Horrible.
It will reflect the Dallas Mavericks to be at the bottom of the barrel for the next 10 years after Kyrie and all them.
Yeah, because it's like, how many more years of Kyrie, Anthony Davis, Klay Thompson being top-tier players do you have left? Two?
Now, unless the Mavericks looked at it as, well, we missed our championship window with Jalen Brunson, Kristaps Porzingis, and Luka Doncic. They're big three. I guess if you look at it that way, then, yeah, maybe they're looking at it that bad.
But I feel like Luka's the guy that you continually rotate the pieces around him, but he is still the centerpiece.
He's your pillar. You're constant.
Like, being a Suns fan, that's what the Suns, I think, are trying to do with Devin Booker. Is like, hey, we're going to keep putting guys around him, whether it's Chris Paul and Mikal Bridges. All right, that didn't work. Let's go Kevin Durant and Bradley Beal. Now they're trying to get rid of Kevin Durant. It's like they're going to keep rotating these pieces until they find somebody that works around him. That's what Luka Doncic is. He's better than Devin Booker. Mm-hmm. He should have retired as a Maverick. Horrible trade. Horrible. I know it's a week old. That's why we're not going to spend much time on it on the show.
All right.
Quickly, I did want to mention my other headline that I have. Do you see the UMass student who he hit the half-court shot?
Yes, I did see this.
And they weren't going to pay him. They finally did, I think. But, man, those competitions, there's got to be a little room for error, right?
That's petty.
Like, you got it. I understand if you're insuring it, it's black and white to you. Was it a half-court shot? Wasn't it a half-court shot? But I feel like, for a student who's out there at halftime, probably nervous, just going out there, like, that much, an inch of room, you can't make that call on that.
If his big toe's on the line, give it to him, all right? The big toe, it's had some other problems in the past.
Right, it's Isaiah Likely in week one.
Yes, that's exactly what
it was.
That
close.
Well, I read yesterday that the insurance company didn't disclose the foot on the line rule before he did the competition. So I feel like that's something that you have. I worked in a radio station in the past that did this at high school games on Friday nights and stuff, and that was something that they always disclosed to people when they signed up.
Your foot has to be behind the line. Like, that should have been something that the rules that are said at the beginning is like, hey, you're going to make a layup, a free throw, a three-pointer, and a half-court shot. For the last three shots, your feet have to be behind the specified line.
Yes.
If they said that, I mean, there's nothing you can do at that point.
But
they didn't. And thankfully, I believe he is getting paid the $10,000, which is cool.
I could use some of that right now.
Yes, I think.
Listen, if there's an insurance company out there wanting to give me 10 grand for a new car, I'm cool with that. All right, thank you.
We're putting it out there.
Just saying.
615-737-1025 is the phone number. Our phone line's driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com.
Got up at 3:30 to walk here from the house, all right?
You just made it.
Just made it in time. No sweat to be dropped.
Nick Frazier, what is our question of the day?
Question of the day, if you are an owner of a major sports franchise, what is your number one, or I guess your number two person that would, I guess, help with the finances at all? If it's going to be like a Jeff Bezos, like your biggest investor. Who would be your number one investor for owning a sports franchise?
Gotcha. Okay, so who are you going into business with if you're owning a sports franchise? Lots of options out there.
And if you want to have some style points, who's your, I guess, fan engagement person? Like, the Titans have Jelly Roll. Like, Oakland Raiders have Guy Fieri. If you want to do something like that.
I like that. So let's pick a billionaire or really rich person. Who's your partner? And who is your celebrity endorsement that you're gonna ask for your team?
Bingo.
615-737-1025. Our phone line's driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We'd love to hear from you. You can text or call, and again, we will get to our answers coming up at the top of the 10 o'clock hour. Ford's Company is brought to you by LPL Financial Nashville and Patrick Conger, financial planning for tomorrow so that you can enjoy today. Coming up, it's Super Bowl weekend. We are just over 24 hours away from the big game, Eagles and Chiefs from New Orleans. We will talk all things Super Bowl 59 coming up next on Ford's Company, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Back here on Ford's Company, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. We are broadcasting live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Jake Wallman with you. Connor Newt out again, but he will join us for Newt's Notes coming up at 10:15 live from Lexington, Kentucky. Until then, we're going to talk Super Bowl here. Chiefs, Eagles, tomorrow evening from New Orleans. Rematch of Super Bowl 57, where the Chiefs won their first of back-to-back championships. They can be the first ever NFL team to three-peat if they win tomorrow inside the Caesars Superdome. Nick Frazier, I don't know if I was... I think I was out conference championship weekend, or maybe I had to leave early. Was that? Yeah,
yeah, I think
I had to leave early to go get to Alabama. But the Super Bowl everyone wanted, America's Super Bowl, was Bills Commanders, and we got the one no one wanted, Chiefs Eagles. I'm going to root for the Eagles tomorrow, I think, just because I don't want to see the Chiefs win it again.
Right.
But I don't feel all that strongly either way. I don't like either of these teams all that much. It just feels like a boring Super Bowl. Like, I'm not looking forward to it all that much. Even though the teams, I think we did get the two best teams from the season, but it's just the storylines aren't there for me. I would have loved to root for the Bills, who lost four Super Bowls in a row, or the Commanders, who they haven't been there in, what, 30 years?
Give or take, yeah.
I'm just... This doesn't move the needle for me.
Yeah, I mean, looking at both teams, sure, they have a lot of wins on their record. But for me, the only storyline for the Eagles is Saquon Barkley. And, like, if you look at the rest of their team, like, to me, I don't value Jalen Hurts as, like, a top-tier quarterback. I think the system that the Eagles run, which is run first, throw a solid play-action pass every once in a while, and it works. It works. Does it work against the Chiefs? I don't think so. I'm leaning towards the Chiefs in this game primarily because if you can't beat them, join them. And that's the only reason why I'm picking them. But, you know, just looking at the Chiefs in general, Mahomes is such a good game manager when it comes to the pivotal games of a season, especially the Super Bowl. And so now that they have a, I guess you call it, two-headed monster at running back with Kareem Hunt and Isaiah Pacheco, you don't have to rely on one running back. And I think that's the benefit of a Andy Reid offense is you can use multiple facets of the offense of in two running backs, or if it's one play is going to be Mecole Hardman, or I believe he's out though, but like if it's like you know, a gadget guy like a Xavier Worthy or something like that, you can go to all those guys. A Travis Kelce, we saw through the whole entire season, Travis Kelce, I don't want to say was irrelevant, but was not as a prominent, I guess, asset for Mahomes this season. We saw a lot of Noah Gray. We saw a lot of, I forget the other tight end, Justin.
Yes, I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, anyways, we'll continue.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's two other tight ends that the Chiefs relied on. And I think it was for the main reason to keep Kelce safe and ready to go for the playoff run.
It wasn't the Travis Kelce show all year long, but now that they've gotten into the games that matter, he's his same old self with Patrick Mahomes. I think this Chiefs team, offensively, this is probably the best Chiefs offense they've had in the last 3 years. Like, the receiver rooms the last couple of years have not been good for Patrick Mahomes. Was 2 years ago, Juju Smith-Schuster was his number one receiver.
And that still blows my mind. They won a Super Bowl.
And now Juju's, what, receiver number four?
Yeah,
I'd say. And he's back? Three or four. You've got Worthy. You've got Hopkins. You've got Hollywood Brown. This Chiefs team... I can't believe how they've just been able to retool that roster around the superstars that they have. You've got the superstar quarterback. You've got Travis Kelce. You've got Chris Jones on the other side. But they keep finding these young guys who all seem to pan out, especially on the defensive end. I think there was a thought over the last couple of years that the Chiefs defense was going to take a step back. You know, they... they lose some of their cornerbacks. L'Jarius Sneed, one of them. But then Trent McDuffie comes in, and he's one of the best cornerbacks in the league immediately, pretty much. Their linebackers are great. Nick Bolton. The Chiefs have found a cheat code, it seems, to just be able to not only have the superstar quarterback, but be able to build a team around him that's solid. The offensive line might be the only exception where they're using Joe Tooney at left tackle, who's a center.
Yeah.
But they piece it together. They find a way to win.
I think for the defensive side of the ball, when you mentioned about losing a guy like L'Jarius Sneed and other assets to their defense, I think it now comes down to coaching and a standard. The standard is to win. And I feel like that's a mentality a lot of teams struggle with in the NFL. Obviously, everybody wants to win. But the Chiefs are determined on winning every single game. And that may be easy to say, but there's just a different aura about their defense when it comes to winning.
Right, and it's not flashy, too. It's not like they're winning these games 47-5.
Right.
That's a weird score. That's scoregami, probably. They're winning these games 28-27.
Right.
24-21.
They're close. They're one possession.
They're getting blocked field goals against the Broncos to win at the very end. They're, what was the other? Isaiah Likely. We mentioned it earlier. Mm-hmm. A toenail is out, but they made it in just enough plays to beat the Ravens in week one. They do all of the little things right. And I think you're right. I think it's the coaching. They have probably the best offensive mind in football in Andy Reid. And maybe the best defensive coordinator in football in Steve Spagnuolo. And they're not going to lose either of those guys. Andy Reid's your head coach. Obviously, he's not going anywhere until he retires. And Steve Spagnuolo, we've seen him as a head coach. I think everybody's kind of boxed him into the, okay, he's going to be a coordinator for the rest of his career. And I think he's happy in Kansas City. So you've pretty much got your coaching staff set. You're never going to have to switch systems. And it just works perfectly there. I hate it as a fan of a team other than Kansas City, and I think everybody is starting to treat them like the Patriots, which is how it goes. It's like when you win enough, you start to become the villain, and that's what the Chiefs are. I just don't see it changing anytime soon. They have built a sustainable dynasty out there in Kansas City.
Yeah, I mean, you're 100% right. This team is just destined for another Super Bowl, in my opinion. They're really good. The only issue I think the Chiefs have when it comes to a team like the Eagles is if the Eagles get a step ahead of managing the clock well. You get what right. I'm saying? Because they run the ball extremely well.
You keep Mahomes off the field.
It's kind of, I'd say, in some regard concerning because the Chiefs, they're the ones that are always a step ahead of everybody.
Right.
If the Eagles get out front and they hold the ball for about 6 to 7 minutes in the first quarter, then you have a ball game that could be really, really close.
That's a good point. I think Saquon Barkley is going to be a key in this game. If he runs for 125, 150 yards and, you know, they can control the time of possession, Jalen Hurts runs well, get some tush pushes in there, and you keep Mahomes off the field, I think that's the best way for the Eagles to win.
And you mentioned storylines, already saying Saquon Barkley. It's going to be his birthday on Saturday.
Right.
So, like,
crazy.
Tomorrow. So, like, I think it's 28, I believe.
Yeah.
Guy's coming off Offensive Player of the Year. Like, he's feeling pretty good about himself. Like, that's the only storyline the Eagles have. Whereas, I'm just kind of cycling real quick. But, you know, the Chiefs have multiple storylines. The Travis Kelce storyline with Taylor Swift. The Mahomes with the whole referee situation. Like, you have all those type of things. They're not primarily about football, but that's what distracts other people about why the Chiefs are so good. Because everybody's worried about the off-the-field stuff when the Chiefs are only worried about the on-the-field stuff.
Yeah, no, that is true. And
I think it can get lost in the sauce is what I'm trying to
right.
get to.
Right, and I think this either team can win this game. I think the Chiefs are the better team. I think the Eagles have the better playmakers. Yep. But who knows how this is going to turn out. I think it'll be a good one tomorrow, even though it's not the one that I think anybody was hoping for heading into the playoffs. Honestly, I think this would have been my least favorite Super Bowl matchup from the start of the playoffs. If we could have gotten the Lions in there, or the Vikings, even the Rams, who I'm not, like, the Rams have been there.
Or the Texans.
On the other side, Texans, Bills. I can't. I love Derrick Henry. I'm not rooting for the Ravens to go to the Super Bowl. But Yeah, outside of maybe Eagles Ravens, because that would have been tough for Titans fans, and we'll talk about that in a second.
Yeah.
With AJ Brown versus Derrick Henry.
Golly.
I think this is probably my least favorite Super Bowl matchup. I'll watch it.
Would you have been okay with another 49ers Chiefs rematch?
I mean,
would you have rather seen that or this one?
My dad's a Niners fan, so I would have liked to see them finally get over the hump and win one. But I just hate the rematches. I want new teams.
Yeah.
If it can't be the Titans, I'd like to see another long-suffering fan base like the Bills get in there. Or the Lions. Bills-Lions would have been such a fun Super Bowl.
Or Commanders.
I mean, Commanders, too. I've got plenty of Commanders friends. Brandon Aldrich,
yeah.
friend of the program. Tough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cowboys, maybe.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. Our phone line is driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We'll keep talking the big game between the Eagles and Chiefs coming up next year on Ford's Company, 1025-1063 The Game. Going back to the sitcoms here, Jake Wallman.
I think that's becoming my thing.
Yeah. We had Parks and Rec last week. We got Seinfeld this week.
What's with that airline food, man?
Tune in to 93.3 FM Totally Hits Nashville today for MTSU Men's Basketball. The Blue Raiders take on Kennesaw State. Tip-off at 4. Pre-game begins at 3:30. Coverage also available on the Totally Hits Nashville app and at TotallyHitsNashville.com. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Jake Wallman with you here on Forbes Company. A reminder, our question of the day. Nick Frazier wants to know, if you were owning a pro sports team, and it could be any pro sports team, who is your business partner? Could be any famous millionaire.
Yeah. Bill
Gates, out there.
Jeff Bezos.
And who would you hire to be a celebrity endorsement?
Yeah.
Whatever the word would be there.
Engagement.
Like Jelly Roll coming out in the Tavondre Sweat jersey at NFL Honors the other day.
That was comedy.
Like, who would you want to be your famous fan? I'll tell you, at Texas on Thursday night, they have a new arena there, the Moody Center. It is unbelievable.
Really? I've heard it's like state of the art.
Basically an NBA arena. During the starting lineup introductions, they have projectors that cover up the upper deck. And they're projecting, like, they've got big face and, like, name and starting lineups and all this stuff. It was really cool. But as you walk in to the floor, it has signs pointing you where to go. One says stage left. One says stage. All right. So McConaughey for Texas would be a good example of this.
All right.
Speaking of, did you see Matthew McConaughey there?
I did not see.
I heard he like lives there. Every event.
I'm sure he comes to some of the women's basketball games. I was not told that he was there.
Mm.
He was supposed to be at Vandy when Vandy played Texas, I heard.
Oh, for football?
Yeah. Mm. But no. I don't know.
He didn't want to see the...
They've got a lot of celebrity fans in Texas, right? Like McConaughey, Glenn Powell.
Oh, I forget Glenn Powell. Yeah, that's right.
There's another big one. I can't think of it. Anyway, that's our question of the day. Who is your celebrity endorsement and who is your business partner if you were to own a franchise?
Woody Harrelson is from Texas.
Yes, that's another good one. We'll get to that coming up at the top of the 10 o'clock hour. We're talking Super Bowl 59, Chiefs and Eagles, tomorrow evening from New Orleans. And we talked a lot about the Chiefs in the last segment. I think everybody kind of feels like the Chiefs are the favorite. I mean, they're going for a three-peat. They've proven that they can do it on the biggest stage over and over.
Mm-hmm.
And if Mahomes wins this one, I think you probably can slot him in at number two behind Brady.
Yes.
Because he'd tie Montana with four Super Bowls.
Right.
I would venture to say that Patrick Mahomes could solidly retire after tomorrow's game with four Super Bowls and have an argument to be the second greatest quarterback of all time.
Yeah, I can't say no to that.
Yeah.
I mean, really can't.
And that's a discussion we can have if he wins it. Because he's already got three. He already has... Does he have two MVPs?
I believe so. When it comes to Super Bowls, yeah.
I know he had the one his first year when he threw 50 touchdowns. I don't remember if he won a second MVP. I think he did. No, maybe he didn't. Because Lamar's gotten two. Rodgers has gotten two in the last, like, 5 or 6 years.
We go.
And then, obviously, Josh Allen won it.
this week. So he's a three-time Super Bowl MVP.
Super Bowl MVP, but NFL MVP.
Oh, yeah. I got you. Let's see. I did not hear you on that. My bad. Computer.
He's only won two.
Yeah, twice. Okay, but twice. Still twice. I was thinking it might have only been the one.
18 and 22.
Right, 22. Yeah. Okay, so, yeah, we don't have to get too deep into that, but I would say Mahomes only behind Brady when it comes to the greatest quarterbacks of all time if he wins tomorrow's game. For the Eagles, they lost this game 2 years ago. Can make an argument one way or the other whether James Bradbury should have been called for holding. But they did lose that game. Do we think they can get it done with the pieces they have right now? They've got the playmakers. Saquon Barkley, A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, Dallas Goedert. Jalen Hurts can make plays with the arm and the leg. Their defense is solid, made up mainly of Georgia Bulldogs.
Yeah.
Do we think that they can get it done?
I don't think so. And I talked about this during the break with you, Jake, and it was about the offense for me with the Eagles. It was about spreading the ball out. I mentioned earlier in the previous segment that they were, you know, good at, with the play action. You run the ball 80% of the time, you throw the ball 20% of the time. For them, that works. Now, when it comes to the Chiefs, and this is something the Chiefs do well about, is they're able to spread the ball out well. I think the Eagles, they have an issue when it comes to, oh, we're stuck on one guy. Like, if it's A.J. Brown's day, we're going to let him eat.
Right.
Wait a minute. We also have Devontae Smith. Oh, we should throw him the ball. He's going to eat today. Wait a minute. There's Dallas Goedert over there sitting off in the reins. You know what? Today's his day. That's the guy we're going to go to. And when they get an issue of, oh, well, we're kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place, whose day is it? And that's the issue when it comes to Jalen Hurts as well as a quarterback, because his decision-making, trying to find out, ooh, I think I got to throw it to A.J. all day.
Tunnel vision.
Yeah, it's the tunnel vision.
Yeah.
And so that's the unfortunate thing about the Eagles' offense is they can't figure that out.
That is true. I think it is rare to see the Eagles have a game where all three of those guys have 5 to 8 catches, 60 to 90 yards, like all kind of just having solid days. It's usually one of them has 9 to 11 catches for 150 yards and 2 touchdowns, while the other ones have 2 to 3 catches for 27 yards or something like that.
Right. Like when they played the Commanders, obviously it was a 55-23 game. Saquon, obviously, he was eating on the on the ground. But then probably the anomaly of it all is A.J. Brown had 6 catches for 96 yards and a touchdown, and then Dallas Goedert had 7 for 85. So, like, yeah, you're going to get your you know, 1-2 punch there. But if you go back to some other games, as I'm trying to open up all these box scores, because it just doesn't happen that quick. You know, this game with the Rams, obviously it was snowing, so you're going to have a lot more stuff on the ground. You don't want to throw the ball in the snow. But looking at the stats here, Dallas Goedert, 4 for 56. Saquon, 4 for 27. Devontae Smith, 4 for 21. A.J. Brown, 2 for 14. Again, understanding the circumstances, but that's still, the targets are down, they're running on the ground, Saquon had 205, understandable. But I just think that they have an issue spreading the ball out.
And you wonder if McDuffie is going to follow around A.J. Brown tomorrow. That could be a big matchup in tomorrow's Super Bowl. Let's get to our question of the day here quickly on the line. Kenny the mailman wants to join us on our phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Kenny, good morning. Thanks for calling. Go
good
ahead.
Good morning to you. It's not a Saturday unless I get to talk to y'all.
Well, thank you, Kenny.
Yeah, I'm at work. And listen, I would like to have the most unique structure of any team around. There's only one other team that does this, and I love it because it's so unique and it so grounds them to the area. I would love to own a franchise, preferably the Titans. I think I could pull that 99% to one for who owns it now. Mm-hmm. But I would own 51%, and 49% would be the stockholders of the fans of Nashville, Tennessee. You'd have to live in Nashville, and you could be part of the stockholders that way. It would always be a promise the team would be here. We would not gouge you. You would not have to build us a stadium. We would work together. But this would be ours forever. And instead of one celebrity endorser as a person, I would just rotate it with each owner to have just a little bit of a spotlight. They might not be famous, but before day, they would be. But I think that makes so much of a difference if you know your owner lives here, they care for the team, they want what's best for the community instead of flying in every now and then and saying, howdy, and that's all you see, old. Hey, y'all have a great day.
You too, Kenny. Thanks for the call. That's it's a good idea. And, you know, the Packers, they don't have an owner. They have a board of directors, and you can own a share of the Packers if you're a fan. That's not a bad idea. But tough to execute when it is a family-owned thing. And obviously, this is all hypothetical. But
right.
But I like that he's saying, hey, I don't need a celebrity endorsement. Guess what? John in Gallatin owns 5% of the Titans. We're going to have him endorse the team and come out, and he'll be the 12th Titan this week or something like that. It's cool.
I think Kenny's on to something. And it definitely reigns true with me being a Nashvilleian through and through. It keeps your community engaged. And that, I think that's something, and I don't want to make a spin on the Titans, but it's kind of what it led into, is that it didn't seem like the community's engaged with the Titans. Obviously, the terrible season they had, number one overall pick, so forth, but the community is just not there for them right now. And I think that's kind of what needs to be brought back. Because we saw in the early 2000s when you had guys like Derek Mason, I mean, Frank Wacek, but Steve McNair, Eddie George, all those guys were very engaged with the community. That's why 25, 26 years later, you're still talking about those guys. You're still talking about them in the community. Because as ownership back in the day, and I guess as, you know, people that worked for the team back then, they cared about the community because they wanted this thing to take off.
Yeah.
I think it's gotten to the point now where the Titans have, that they're okay with where they're at. And I'm trying to think the best way to put this. They're okay with how they look and perceive to national media because they've got their money.
Right.
They've got their money. They don't really need the extra care of a community when it comes to, I mean, I get it for ticket purposes, but just as a whole.
And I do think the Titans had some of those guys on the good teams back in 18, 19, 20, 21 with Delanie Walker early on in those days, Jarrell Casey, Taylor Lewan, Derrick Henry, Kevin Byard. Mm-hmm. Like there were guys like that. All of those guys are gone now. And we did a whole segment on this a few months ago about who are the cornerstone guys for this team, and there just aren't many.
No.
Like, you could look at J.C. Latham as possibly a cornerstone piece moving forward, but outside of that, there's not a whole lot of names that pop up.
And I'll say this, because Jeffrey Simmons did win Walter Payton Man of the Year. Like, congrats to that. Like,
yeah.
I believe so, yeah. Right? Or he was one of the
He was a finalist.
Finalist, excuse me.
I didn't actually see who won.
It was
Eric Armstead. But yes, he was the Titans representative.
Yes, that's what I meant. Excuse me. The Titans. Oh, my goodness. I'm all over the place. Stadium Pulse. No, one of the Titans representatives. So congrats to that. But besides Jeffrey Simmons, again, what were the cornerstones?
Right. It's Simmons and Latham, I think, are the two guys that you look at as like, all right, those guys are valuable and could end up being parts of a playoff contending team. But outside of that, there are a lot of maybes in there. Skoronski, Cushenberry, Ridley, Spears and Pollard, I think, would be maybes. You've got a couple on the defensive end, but you had a leadership of really good players for a long time here. They've got to find more of those guys as we go off on a little bit of a tangent here. One of those guys you thought you had was A.J. Brown.
And there, and he's gone.
I'm going to ask some Titans Super Bowl related questions coming up next as we wrap up hour number one.
Don't make me cry, all right?
737-1025 is our phone number, and our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. This week's Nashville's best deal is Prince's Hot Chicken, the original and iconic hot chicken joint. Get half off a $25 gift card now while supplies last at thegamenashville.com/deals. The gift card is only good for the Tanger Outlets in Antioch and inside Assembly Food Hall in downtown Nashville. Forest Company coming back right after this on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. Tune into 102.5 and 106.3 The Game today for Vanderbilt men's basketball. The Commodores take on the Texas Longhorns at Memorial Gym. 12 o'clock tip, and the pregame show starts right after us at 11:30. Coverage is also available on the 102.5 The Game app and at thegamenashville.com. Vanderbilt men's basketball is presented by Athletes Unlimited Pro Basketball, coming to Nashville's Municipal Auditorium right now, February 5th through March 2nd. Go to auprobasketball.com for more details and to purchase tickets. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Jake Wallman with you, talking Super Bowl 59 coming up tomorrow evening from New Orleans. Connor Newt going to join us at 10:15 for Newt's Notes live from Lexington, Kentucky. I've got a couple Titans-related questions for you about the Super Bowl as we wrap up our talk about the big game tomorrow night. A.J. Brown.
Tissues ready.
A.J. Brown. This will be his second trip to the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. And I did see, I think Joe Dubin was one of the people who tweeted it out, mm-hmm. and people have talked about this, that A.J. Brown now has more Super Bowl appearances than Treylon Burks has touchdowns. That is verifiably false.
Oh, whoa, breaking news, Jake.
A.J. Brown has more Super Bowl touchdowns than Treylon Burks has has more Super Bowl appearances than Treylon Burks has receiving touchdowns. That
yeah, because
is
he recovered a Derrick Henry fumble
he
in 2020
against the Bengals.
Oh,
Treylon Burks has two career touchdowns. One, he recovered a Derrick Henry fumble in the end zone against the Bengals. I was at that game. And the second one was actually against the Eagles, where he caught it and got his head taken off.
That was the A.J. Brown revenge
game.
That was
the stiffen up.
Yes.
Yeah, I remember that.
That was the 2 days before John Robinson got fired for making that decision. Yes, I just wanted to clear the air, straighten it up, that A.J. Brown now has two Super Bowl appearances. He has the same amount of career as Treylon Burks' career touchdowns. So
we went to review on this, and upon further review, Jake Lyman has the answer. It's confirmed.
We aren't giving Treylon Burks nearly enough credit. He has two career touchdowns, not just one.
Bless his heart. Hopefully chapter two of his career is better.
I hope so too.
Yeah.
It seems like he's a good guy. I hope that that things work out. Likely not going to be here in Nashville. Question about A.J. Brown.
Yes.
Do you want to see A.J. Brown win the Super Bowl?
No.
Yeah, I'm in the camp of nah.
Is it weird that I want the Eagles to win, but I don't want him to win a Super Bowl?
See, here's the...
It feels conflicting.
Yeah, I can see it.
Here's the thing. DeAndre Hopkins, when he was traded from the Titans to the Chiefs, understandably, he made comments this past week about, you know, Chase McDaniel, they talked on their show about maybe DeAndre Hopkins quit on the Titans, you know, for the Bills game and so forth. I get all that. But when he scored a touchdown with the Chiefs, he did the Remember the Titans little trot, paying homage to saying thanks for the trade and so forth.
Right.
A.J. Brown, obviously when he got traded, it was the slapping of the goalpost. It was all that. I would love it for him to say, hey, thanks to the Titans for getting me to this point, because without the trade, he's not at the Super Bowl, all right? I'm not saying he owes the Titans anything.
Yeah.
But I would just love for a little bit of some Nashville fans that enjoyed A.J. Brown's stay here in Nashville, just give us a little hey, thanks. This is for you guys. Like, give us a little bit of that. If you don't give me any of that, then I'm sorry.
I think I've moved on. 2 years ago, I definitely did not want to see A.J. Brown win the Super Bowl because that was fresh.
It was an open wound.
That was the year after. Mm-hmm. So I was not on board with him winning the Super Bowl then. When he caught the touchdown in, like, the second quarter of the Super Bowl, that one hurt. I think I've moved past it. I like A.J. Brown. He cried when Marcus Mariota got benched. I feel like he really did love Nashville. Did he handle everything perfectly around his contract? No, not at all.
Right.
But I'm okay with him winning the Super Bowl.
I don't know. For me, I don't say I have bad blood with A.J. Brown. It's the fact that I'm a Mississippi State fan, and he went to Ole Miss.
Right, that's true.
He's from Starkville, Mississippi. It's his backyard. Went to Starkville High School. So the fact of the matter is, this man played baseball and football and ends up deciding to go play at Ole Miss, ends up winning the Egg Bowl in Davis Wade Stadium.
He betrayed you twice.
And it hurts. It hurts, all right? And then goes to the Titans. I'm like, okay, maybe this is the resurrection.
He can redeem himself.
Yeah, he's redeeming a friendship between him and I that he knows nothing about me. Nothing about me at all. And, yeah, that's where I'm just like, I hope, you know, things go well for him. And, like, again, I hope everything goes well for him in his career and so forth, not wishing ill will on anybody, but just love a little bit of paying homage to the Titans, that's all, fans here in Nashville.
I'm ready to move on. If A.J. Brown wins a Super Bowl tomorrow, so be it. It would be a really interesting question of if it was Ravens-Eagles, like, who would you rather have win a Super Bowl? I think the answer is Derrick Henry for the players. Mm-hmm. I'd like to see Derrick win more than A.J., but that would mean the Ravens have to win another Super Bowl, which I don't know if I can get behind. Quick question before we wrap up here, hour number one. I know Jared talked a lot about Sam Darnold this week on his show, and I think this Super Bowl is a perfect example of how having an above-average quarterback can get you to the big game in the NFC. It can't in the AFC, which is why I am 100% out on Sam Darnold being the next quarterback of the Titans. Thoughts on that? Because I think Sam Darnold, even though he didn't do it this year, I think Sam Darnold with a really good team can be a contender in the NFC. But in the AFC, when you're with Mahomes, Allen, Burrow, Jackson, Stroud, Herbert, you got to have an elite quarterback. Sam Darnold isn't in that same league.
Yeah, you're 100% right. This Sam Darnold just conversation needs to stop. The guy is going to get paid somewhere. I wouldn't say the bajillions amount of dollars that everybody's talking about. I think after that playoff appearance and his performance,
it's going to be lower.
It's going to be lower. I'd say significantly lower. And you're right. If he goes to the AFC, there's no team that can add up to any of this. Because you got to go through Mahomes and Allen and Lamar.
You could win the AFC South with Sam Darnold.
It's true.
And a good team around him.
Sure. But once you get to the playoffs.
Yeah. Uh-uh. Is Sam Darnold leading you into Arrowhead and winning?
Absolutely not.
I don't think so.
I don't think this guy can play in cold weather. And not one bit.
I'd argue Ryan Tannehill in that 2019 and 2021 seasons is probably better than Sam Darnold.
Mm.
I think it's close.
That's
and Sam Darnold's younger, so you have a little bit more runway of
more of a ceiling.
Right. Your window could be bigger, but I don't know. I am out on Sam Darnold. If that is the Titans solution, I think that is the worst possible solution for the Titans, because not only are you signing a guy who you kind of already know his ceiling, you're also committing long-term money to him, which I think is the worst thing you could do. I'm fine signing Daniel Jones or Mac Jones to a one-year prove-it deal and then trading down from one if that's what you want to do. But please do not sign a four-year contract worth like $80, $90 million guaranteed with Sam Darnold.
You're just selling away your future.
It's horrible.
To me, what? I'm just perplexed. Ryan Tannehill's just probably sitting on a boat fishing somewhere.
And I think that's what he wants.
I mean, if the Titans were to offer him, like, hey, man, what about like $10 million? You cool with that? Cool with something like that?
I think Ryan Tannehill, and I said this before the season when everyone was talking about where Ryan Tannehill was going to go, I was like, unless Ryan Tannehill gets blown away by the situation and the money that he's getting, like, hey, we're going to pay you $20 million this year to come be our starting quarterback. It's you, nobody else. You're not competing. I think he'd do it. Hmm. But otherwise, I think he's good sitting on a boat with his Celsius and his wife and his kids. Fishing.
Chilling.
And sitting on his $200 million he made in his career or whatever it is. So, anyway, maybe we'll get back to the Titans quarterback situation later on in the show. But when we come back, we're going to get back to our question of the day. If you owned a franchise, and we'll say the Titans, but if you're out there and, you know, you're a Cowboys fan or whatever it is, it could be your own team. Who would you partner with as your business partner? Could be a celebrity billionaire. Could be the fans, like we heard from Kenny the Mailman. And who would be your celebrity endorsement? Who would you want out there shouting the praises of your team on social media and out there on red carpets and everything? That's coming up next. Force Company, hour number one in the books. Hour number two up next. You're on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game.